Well, today we continue with our sermon series on love. And today's sermon is full of irony, because for weeks, I've been unpacking the meaning of love. We have looked at the different Greek definitions of love. We have looked at how to love God and how to love others. But today we learn from Jesus just how simple love should be. As we get into our sermon today, we have to understand that children in the time of Jesus had a very low standing in society. Unless you were the oldest male child, the primary heir, you were not much higher than a servant. You were considered a source of labor. And while children were thought as blessings, usually they were a measure of a man's wealth. They were counted and touted along with the number of his sheep and bulls. The greatest value of children was the value placed on males as a way to continue the family name. Girls had the lowest value and were seen as pawns to be used for arranged marriages and deals between competing families. And their value was generally measured only as adults. And children were only of value on how many children, especially male children, the people produced. Now, we know there were exceptions to these rules, especially if the child was born into royalty. But in general, until you became an adult, usually an adult male around age 13 at the time of Jesus, you didn't have a voice or say in anything. So with that stage set, we're going to go to an account in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18, and the Word of God says this: "People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them." Now this verse tells us a lot. As we know, the crowds that followed Jesus could be in the thousands. He was famous. He was considered important. Jesus had been elevated to the level of a great teacher or rabbi. The people recognized his power through his miracles. I mean, after all, he healed lepers. He fed thousands. He healed blind people. He made people walk. And we know that a woman was healed simply by touching the hem of his garment. I mean, that's pretty powerful. If you just touch the hem of his garment, you could be healed. So just imagine the scene. Jesus, the great teacher, is teaching through parables as he usually does. The crowds were surrounding Jesus and pressing in on him. They all wanted to touch him. The disciples were likely keeping the crowds at bay like a bunch of bouncers. And not only were people trying to get to Jesus, some of them were trying to get their babies near Jesus. They were holding their kids out, hoping they could just reach out and their kid would be blessed if Jesus would touch them or they could touch Jesus. And so when these people were trying to get Jesus to touch their babies, the scripture says the disciples rebuked the people. The disciples pretty much said, "Keep your kids back. After all, children mean nothing, and this great teacher has no time for them." But Jesus would not have that. The scripture says this: "But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.'" Jesus, as usual, goes against society and cultural standards. He takes children who are low in society standards and he elevates them. Now, in our culture, we love babies. We cherish them. Most of the time we cherish them. But kids hold a much higher place in our society than they did 2,000 years ago. We value them. We invest in them through education, sports, and activities. And we certainly love to share pictures about them, don't we? We share absolutely everything about their lives. Just find a new parent or new grandparent and their phone will be out ready to show you every single picture. Their first bath, the first smile, their first foods, their first tooth, the first steps, their first words. But even as much as we value children, I have seen time and time again how children have not been welcome in certain times and places in the church. Not necessarily here at this church, but in the past, I've heard people complain about children running in the sanctuary. Get the children off the altar. I've heard people complain about babies and children being a distraction in the service. And I've heard people complain about children taking communion. Why do we let children take communion? They don't even know what it is. Well, if you know what it is and understand it fully, come talk to me. I'd like to learn from you. You see, I believe that children and youth should be fully a part of our worship services. I do not believe that they should be separated from us. After all, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." I believe when we worship and when we take communion, we are in the presence of Jesus, and that all the children and youth of the church should be with us. We have a duty to show them how to worship, to show them how to honor God. And as we heard in our Old Testament lesson, Moses told the people, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And we also know that from our baptismal covenant that we as a church are charged with a special duty. In our baptismal response, we learn that God has called us to be in community with one another and that we as a church family have a commitment to all of God's children. We say an oath that with God's help, we are to order our lives after the example of Christ, that the child surrounded by steadfast love may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to eternal life. So all of that means, in other words, we are to bring the children into the presence of Jesus. Children are special to Jesus. And why? Jesus said, "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Matthew records two separate accounts of our encounters with Jesus and children. And we heard earlier that at the time the disciples came and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So why do you think Jesus wants us to become like little children? Because in my house, my wife keeps telling me to stop acting like a little child. Because sometimes I'm the biggest instigator with the kids. But why does he want us to humble ourselves and take the lowly position of a child? I think it's because Jesus knows how simple faith and love is with children. In this passage, Jesus celebrates the humility that comes from the child's weakness, defenselessness, and vulnerability. Think about it. A small child can really do nothing for himself or herself. Because if we left children alone, they would just die, wouldn't they? And especially for young children, love and faith are not something that has to be earned. Love and faith are simple to children. They love us and they trust us with great simplicity. And it starts as a newborn. When your child is first born, they encourage you to lay the newborn right on your bare chest, don't they? They want the simple, direct contact and the warmth of your skin. They want the baby to smell your body, hear the sound of your heartbeat. And all of this is said to help create a bond with your child. Children grow to sense our presence. They need us to meet their needs. And when they are young, they have simple faith that we will be there to provide for their needs. And think about the love of a young child. They don't see us the way the world sees us. Their love doesn't judge us by our age, our hair color, or lack of hair. They don't see us as tall or short. They don't see us as fat or thin. They haven't learned to judge us by our bad habits. They love us just for being mom or dad or a sibling or a grandparent. And think about how we love them. Our love for them is simple too. For most people, they love that child deeply from day one. And the child hasn't done anything to earn that love. The child hasn't accomplished anything. Yet we fall in love with our precious little bundles. This kind of love from a child to a parent, or of a parent to a child, is the simplest and most pure kind of love. Because as children get older, they start to see things in us. Remember that first time your kid got really honest and said, "Hey, Daddy, you're fat." Or, "Hey, Mom, look at..." And they just call it out, because when they're little, they don't see things. But as they get older, they start to see things differently. I remember when I was young, I literally thought that my dad was the strongest and smartest man in the whole world and that he could do no wrong. And he told me when I was little, and I remember that saying, he said, "Son, one day you'll be disappointed when you realize that your parents aren't perfect." And he was right. Especially when my parents went through a divorce, I saw them with different eyes. And we as parents, the love we have for the newborn is challenged with the attitude of the terrible twos. Or when that preteen smug attitude kicks in. Or when your teenager realizes that they know everything and no longer need to listen to you. Or when they grow up and move out on their own and start making decisions that make you cringe. Love certainly becomes more complicated with age, doesn't it? And in this passage, Jesus reminds us that sometimes we need to step back. That sometimes we need to drop all of the ways that we have made things complicated. Because let's face it, we have at times made church and our faith complicated. I mean, just look at our denomination. We have a book called the Book of Discipline. It's a book about that thick, and it's a whole book telling us how complicated to make church. How we need committees, how we need to have meetings, how we need to meet locally, we need to meet through the district, we need to meet through a conference, and we need to meet globally. And then we have a whole other book called the Book of Worship. And the entire book is focused on telling us how to worship each week, how to worship for holidays and special times of the year. It tells us specific ways to do baptisms, communions, weddings, funerals, and more. And then we have a whole other book called the Book of Resolutions that tells us how to do all the other things that are not covered in all the other books. Jesus told his disciples, the greatest among them is not who followed all the rules. It's not who had all the accomplishments. It's not who had the highest degree of education. It's not who served the most hours. Jesus said the greatest of all was the one who could become humble like a little child. The one who could see God as their Father. To know that their existence and everything about them depends on God. To be humble and know that we need God. To be humble and see how much He dearly loves us. And for us to simply love God for being God. To love God for the little things that seem so amazing. As children, I love watching children because sometimes the simplest things seem to amaze them. Have you ever watched a little baby just stare at its hand and watch it move? And then they're even more amazed when they realize they're the one making it open and close. Have you ever seen that? It's simple amazement. But think about it. How amazing is it? Think about the way God created us. I mean, really, look at your hand. He created bone, tissue, muscles, tendons, and ligaments. And they're all made up of all kinds of different cells right there in your hand. And they're fed by blood flowing through it. And you have cells that grow and replenish themselves. And when neurological impulses are sent to it, the hand moves. You have a hand that can sense heat. It can warn us of pain. It can provide a soft, delicate touch, or it can provide the strength to move heavy objects. It also gives us dexterity and the skills to use tools. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty amazing God to create that. And as the old saying goes, sometimes we need to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes we need to slow down and watch an amazing sunrise or sunset. Sometimes we need to simply get lost in God's creation and listen to the sounds of the birds, bees, and babbling brooks. We need to stop and see all that God has given us, to see that He is our Creator, that He is our Father, and to understand what great love that He lavishes on us, that we should be called children of God. When was the last time you stopped and just simply looked to God and said, "Thank you for loving me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for the gifts that you have given to me." When we gather to worship, Martha and I work hard to try to set the stage for worship. But worship simply comes down to this: to us gathering and for us simply sharing our love for God together as one people. Our worship should be a simple expression of our love for God and our acknowledgement of God's love for us. And when we can boil it down to this kind of simplicity, then we really get it. Then we really see what love is. You know, it doesn't matter how much you know about the Bible. Doesn't matter how many church services you've attended. Doesn't matter when you were baptized. Doesn't matter how many generations of your family have been here. It doesn't matter if you're the first generation in this church. The simple truth is, Jesus loves you. And if you know nothing else about God, that alone is enough to know. Jesus loves you. And when you accept that truth into your heart, and you can say back, "God, I love you too." That, my friends, is what real faith is about. 1 John 3:1, John writes, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Let us simply go from here knowing that Jesus loves me, that Jesus loves you. Go now in the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.